You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where we discuss herbalism, fitness, and healthy habits for life. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Welcome back.
Out there in internet world.
Yes.
It's been a while. I know that there have been a couple episodes without me. So, you know, in the beginning, Paul and I just want to explain to you what's happening, going on.
There's no like inner turmoil, bad blood, like weird stuff, which I'm sure people would love. Like people love like drama. A train wreck drama.
Yep. No, sorry. But we're still friends.
Yeah, we're still friends, and she's still my trainer right now, and we're working out. So,
but
yes,
there is going to be a shift. And Paula, would you like to?
Yeah.
Tell the world.
So I am packing up my family and we are moving to Maine from Oregon. So that's 3,200 miles.
Dang.
I'm originally from the East Coast, which we've talked about in season one when you guys were getting to know us. And my husband's family now is a little bit over on the East Coast. So we'll be closer to his family, which is nice. And I'm excited. We went on vacation there. We came back and 2 days later I had the house on the market.
Yeah.
And we've got a new house in Maine. We're waiting to close on it and I'm excited. So it worked out well, especially with the season, with my herbs, and I was able to collect everything. For those out there, by the way, who do want to start growing herbs in a more like wooded environment with deer and things like that, make sure you plan ahead of time or save those herbs in a place where you're not going to get attacked by deer, because as soon as July runs around, you get the buck moon, which is what it's called. I mean, they decimated everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I was able to collect all of my herbs and get those all dried out before they really ate everything, which coincided really well with this move. So we're excited to do that. We're excited to get started. And then, you know, obviously that switches up how we're going to be working together.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
I'm really excited for you too. Yeah. Paula, clearly, she makes big moves quickly because she's a boss like that. But yeah, so I'm just going to kind of be almost like a monthly guest, I guess you could say. And then so it'll be a little bit more focused on herbalism and kind of things like that. And then I'll be able to pop in with my little 2 cents about movement or just about those things.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Sorry for all you, this is no telenovela. This is not a soap opera. Paula and I hung out on Friday. We made some, oh my God, actually, she made some amazing herbal ice cream and herbal-based cookies that were gluten-free and dairy-free.
Yeah, they were vegan.
And and it was the, what was the cookie made out of again?
We had Tulsi, which is a warming herb. I wanted to have something that had a little bit of an herb for the fall, which I like to drink Tulsi tea. And so I put some Tulsi in there. We did some almond flour and tapioca flour. So you still kind of get that consistency without the egg in there. And then we did a spiced vegan ice cream, which had mostly the spices you would put in like a chai, with some cardamom, some cinnamon, some stuff like that. So it married well together. And there was plums. I found some plums when I was at this local park that has a lot of fruit trees. And so we put that into the ice cream as well. And so that was really good. And also we're going to be talking about Tulsi as one of the herbs today because we're still focused on pain for the month of September, but we're going to be talking about more of that emotional pain, maybe some trauma, things like that, that get in the way of maybe your movement and your workout.
Yes. I remember in season one, we talked more about just physical pain that may come from working out, ways that you could kind of alleviate that pain or help it. But yeah, we're talking today about how emotional pain can be expressed physically and also kind of the hangups you could get into in regards to movement that are associated with kind of a fear state that you may be in for one reason or another. And also it was interesting, I didn't realize that, maybe I should have known this, but I didn't realize that September was pain awareness month. And on Tuesday was actually the 8th anniversary. So my 8-year rebirthday from my accident. So some things that we'll be talking about, I'll give little kind of insights into what my experience was as well, because obviously I went through a very traumatic physical experience and the emotional kind of things that have lingered from that experience and how it's affected my workouts sometimes or my movements or things like that. So yeah, a little bit personal today and also just, you know, good info.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you who out there in the podcast world who have been listening know, I am now sending out little herbal buds is what I'm calling them. Which are like, short little snippets about things. So that way when you're, you know, riding your bike to work, driving to work, whatever it is, that 10, 15 minutes you have to yourself, maybe in the bathroom, hopefully you're not spending that much time.
Then Paula has an herb for you.
then we talked last time about caffeine, and that's a big thing when we talk about pain and trauma and you talk about your nervous system. And I just want to reiterate that, you know, you really have to look at your caffeine doses, because when you start talking about how those emotional aspects of pain and trauma then coincide with a build in anxiety. Mm-hmm. And anything that's stimulating to the body. So the foods that you eat that might be more stimulating, the supplements that you're taking, the herbs,
the tea you're drinking.
Right. All of that has to be taken into consideration. And I'm really excited. I think this all married really well this month, especially with the topic. So let's get started.
Yeah. So I think we wanted to do a little kind of just like body scan for a moment.
Yeah.
And see if we feel kind of that expression of pain in any way. I'm doing some somatic therapy right now. And that's largely, my therapist often stops me in my tracks or stops me in my words and is like, okay, this emotional experience you're talking about right now, how is it manifesting within your body? You know, do you feel that tightness in your throat? Are you clenching your fists without realizing? Are you tightening your body? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have a lot of tension running through your body? I mean, all of those things affect the way that you move and also just the way that you go about your day to day.
Absolutely.
So I think we just kind of wanted to start with that. So Paula, why don't you start?
Yeah. So I am sitting here and we're drinking a warm, nice herbal tea that's warming to the body with some Tulsi and some ginger in it, which is good because I'm feeling a lot of tightness in my shoulders. And it's not just because of our workout yesterday. We had an insane workout with shoulders. But with the move and with everything going on, there is a lot of stress. And that manifests in this excitement of just like tensing up my shoulders to my ears, which happens often. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to relieve that by warming my body a little bit before a workout to stretch it out. And I think just my legs, maybe I've got maybe a little bit of soreness, a little stiffness, things like that. And so taking that into consideration when, you know, I'm moving or when I'm incorporating certain herbs is going to be important. But yeah, it's really interesting. One of the things with stress that I know about myself is that I grind my teeth when I sleep, and I always have since I was a kid. Mm. And for those that realize that, I was never told, and I'm 31 at this point, right? And it's well documented, I grind my teeth, that I should be wearing a night guard. It never occurred to me.
I thought that was a thing.
That I should be that wearing happened. A night guard. And so I should have some weird goofy thing in my mouth on top of my like blue light glasses that I wear.
Nice.
I'm going to be looking real sexy. So I'm going to get one of those. But if you do have stress and it manifests in that way, you're going to have a lot of dental bills over the years if you don't, you know, think about those and consider those things. So even though I often do body scans and do some, there's some things that are common sense to some people that just aren't to others. And that's right. One of those.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of this podcast, like for some people, things that maybe I say with fitness or whatever may seem obvious to you, but there are a lot of people where it is new information. So yeah, just, and that's all you really need to do is just look into yourself, right? And just notice how your body is reacting to things. It doesn't have to be this really detailed, like insane technical thing of you like feeling your energetics for that day or whatever. But as simple as sitting down with yourself and being like, okay, what's going on in my life? Mm-hmm. Do I have these stressors? Do I feel that tension in my shoulders or what you said, like that grinding? And do you feel that when you're going through something stressful, the grinding tends to get worse?
Yeah, I don't notice it when I'm sleeping,
right?
But I get that really tense, sore muscle in my jaw after it happens. And so for the longest time trying to connect that with stress, I thought I had all kinds of issues, and I went to the doctor and I went to the dentist and all those things and realized it literally was just like getting a mouth guard maybe taking some relaxing herbs in the evening,
right,
finding out ways to do that, and then doing a lot of like neck stretches because it's all kind of connected.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I could imagine like when you
shorten, so it like shortens everything, and especially when you're looking at your phone all day on top of that because of the society we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like my head is like literally constantly tilted down.
Right.
So things, but yeah, I mean, it takes 2 to 3 minutes just to scan, look at some things and say, okay, this is where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you, Danielle?
Well, I woke up feeling particularly cold today. Like I feel it in, like my feet feel really cold today.
Mm.
So I know that I'm carrying more tension in my body because I mean, I feel like I don't, I've talked about this, regulate temperature that well, or I'm deeply affected by the cold weather. So things are starting to shift here a little bit. And even already I'm starting to feel that my body as a whole is just more tense, which then leads to like the shoulders. I do the same thing, like shoulders coming up to the ears. I have a friend who calls me Traps McGee.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm working out my traps. I honestly think it's from just so many times of feeling tense and anxious. And, you know, doing this podcast and coming back to this after a little break, like I feel little butterflies in my stomach. So I am holding a little tension there as well, because I feel a little anxious. And that's something that my body does. Like I have a very mm-hmm. physical reaction to anxiety mm-hmm. and to fear and to things like that. So I feel that tension. Tuesday was my anniversary. As I mentioned, I always have to do something really physical. So I did this like kind of hike trail run, which wasn't insane, but doing a run is just not something I normally do in a way that I move my body. So my legs are definitely feeling sore, but in a good way, just kind of makes me feel alive. but yeah, I think that's mostly what's going on. It's definitely feeling a little colder than normal than I have been lately. So grateful that Paula brought that warming tea to kind of just like relax the muscles a little bit and just bring that kind of good feeling to the core and to the foundation.
Yeah, I think if we really look at society as a whole and the correlation between this increase in anxiety that we see in society and this increase in gut issues we see in society, I think a lot of people's anxiety manifests in gut issues.
Yeah.
And so it's really something to look at and to get that anxiety under control, because you can't heal one without healing the other.
Mm-hmm. Everything's connected.
Yeah.
All right. So I think now we can officially dive in, now that we did a little body scan. Maybe do that for yourself too. Take a moment. Put it on pause. That's the beauty of technology. All right. So I kind of wanted to start talking about the mental state post-injury or post something that happens to your body physically. That's trauma. Probably because of where I am right now this week, and it just kind of worked out that way. So according to the CDC, here's a little stat for you, about 8.6 million sports and recreation related injuries happen every year. So I guess mine was recreation related. I was swimming.
You're right.
And on the boat, and the propeller hit me. But 8.6 million. So that's a lot of people who are dealing with these things and then maybe not knowing how to overcome them after that happens.
Right.
So I feel like now is also a really amazing time to talk about these things, because there is such an emphasis on mental health and on the way that it does affect our day-to-day, the way that it does affect our physical body. Like we, you know, you hear the catchphrase, the mind-body connection, but I think right. more and more, with more studies, with more time, we really are seeing how true that actually is.
Mm.
So more than ever, we're showing that your mental health and your psychological state can have a big effect on your performance. I mean, when you think about an athlete, or you think about, you listen to interviews from these people who, you know, the Michael Jordans, the Kobe Bryants, all of these people, the LeBron Jameses, they talk about visualizations, or they talk about certain affirmations, or, you know, they visualize the way that they want to perform, and they use these positive mental practices in order to affect their performance.
Right.
So it should be no surprise then that the adverse mental state, or the opposite mental state, would also have the opposite effect.
Mm.
If you're moving from a place of fear because you don't want to re-injure yourself, or you're moving from a place of fear because you're dealing with some PTSD, or some unchecked trauma that may not even have anything to do with your physical body, but it's being manifested in the way that you move, it's obviously going to affect your performance, which is going to then set you up for either re-injury or another injury. When we're in psychological distress, you put stress on the body's autonomic nervous system. So that's the fight or flight response. Mm. And when you're constantly in that state, you could imagine if you're constantly in a state of fight or flight, the tension and the way that you hold your body is going to be really different. Right. And it's also going to affect the way that your body rests and repairs. I mean, we talked about with Shane, and we talked about with a couple of other guests, I believe, the importance of sleep and how that affects your recovery and how so much of your recovery happens within those hours.
Oh, absolutely.
But if your body cannot get that sleep because it's so stressed out and, you know, you can't fall into that rhythm, then you're not going to be able to recover well. What happens when you can't rest and recover as well? You set yourself up for another injury or a different injury or a re-injury. So I just want to talk about how your mental state can really affect you. And this is where I'll give a little personal anecdote and then I'll move on really quickly. But, you know, my leg was, I mean, without any dramatizing what happened or any exaggeration, my leg was ravaged. I talked about this briefly. I lost 50% of my blood. I showed up without a pulse. Like, my husband was my boyfriend at the time. He was there holding me together, begging, like screaming at me not to die. It was an extremely, extremely traumatic event. I woke up intubated and literally shackled to the bed because I guess I was fighting them during intubation. So then I woke up and I found out I was paralyzed. My entire life has changed.
Right.
There was a moment in the hospital there, or not a moment, but about a week, that I went into a very, 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 very deep depression where I didn't want to help myself in any capacity. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to be awake. I didn't want to think. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to do anything. Mm. And the doctors kept telling me that if I didn't snap out of that, I would have to stay in the hospital. They would not be able to release me in that mental state for a variety of reasons. My body also wasn't healing while I was in that mental state. And I became really close with my doctors, to the point where I still have relationships with them today. And they would tell me stories all the time about how other people would come into the hospital with significantly less trauma to their body from an accident, and they would end up dying or they would never recover. Mm. A specific story directly related to my accident was a young man who was maybe in his 30s. He had a couple of kids. He got into a boating accident similar to mine, but without this necessarily the severity of it. I think it may have gotten his bone, but it wasn't permanent damage. Not taking away what he went through. It was still traumatizing. Mm-hmm. But according to the doctors, less severe than my accident. He was in the hospital for over 3 months because he was not getting better and because he had, from what they told me, basically given up on himself.
Right.
And I was in the hospital initially for 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure, I was still laid out when I went home. And yes, I had to have a home nurse come and do all of the things every single day. But they released me because once I snapped out of that really, 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 really initial deep depression, and don't get me wrong, I went back into it here and there. Obviously, there were lots of ups and downs. But once I snapped out of that, I started working immediately towards my recovery.
Right.
Like little things that I could do with my leg, like mental things, like talking to the therapist instead of shutting down with the therapist because the hospital offered one and provided one.
Mm-hmm.
And I left after 2.5 weeks with like my entire leg basically open.
Ugh. Yeah.
That was how it was. Mm-hmm. I had holes in my body. I had like, it was horrific, but they let me leave because my mental state was in a different place than that other individual's mental state.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to bring this all to like me and my story, but just to hopefully, and blah, blah, I hate saying like inspire you, but I do hope that it inspires you to know that the way that you tackle your trauma and the way that you tackle your injury is going to absolutely absolutely, in my opinion, directly impact your recovery.
Absolutely, yeah.
So keep that in mind. And that being said, like, I understand very intimately the fear that comes after that when you start moving again. Mm. I still have that fear for certain things. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I don't want to re-injure myself. Oh, like, what if I hurt myself in a different capacity? What if I do this? What if I do that? Like, I'm never going to be the same anyways. So what's the point? Like, right. You go through that, almost that cycle within your head and those questions over and over again. And when you move from a place of fear, you move differently. When you have a fear of movement or a fear of re-injury, it's called kinesiophobia. Mm. And your fear of injury may impact the muscle endurance and activation that you have while you're in your workout. Imagine I hurt my leg, right? My leg was the main thing that was injured. So if I had this fear and I never actually activated or engaged my muscles, then what's going to happen? That fear of injury is then also going to cause altered muscle recruitment, right? Because I don't want to use the muscles that I need because I'm afraid to hurt them.
Oh, absolutely.
So then I start pulling from other parts of my body.
It's like when anybody autocorrects when they have, whether it's like a dental issue, a foot issue, you start relying on the other half of your body or whatever it is. And then, yeah, you're just totally out of alignment.
Right, right. Exactly. And also, let's say that you are moving from a place of fear and you're moving with a lot of tension already. So you're not allowing kind of a flow in your movement. You're almost moving like so hard and robotic that is going to increase your risk of injury as well. I mean, there's a difference between moving from a place of fear and moving mindfully. Mm-hmm. Like, you can move really slow and you could be very aware of the injury or the trauma that you had, mm-hmm. but you could stay really, really mindful of it, but that's completely different from moving slow or moving through tension or moving through a place of fear that you're like not even engaging those right. muscles.
Absolutely.
That also then sets you up for re-injury because then you decondition yourself.
Right.
We've talked about this a little bit about how it's not like the idea of like wrapping something really, really tight and immobilizing it and not moving. Like before, that was what you were supposed to do with right. an injury. And now they're noticing, and they did this for me after my accident. Like my whole leg was cut open and they were still having me do very passive, but still involved leg movements.
Right.
Using a band. And that was within the first week of me coming out of this. Mm-hmm. I thought that I would have just been laid out for like, oh, a long time, but right. we're starting to understand that without moving those muscles, you are setting yourself up in the wrong way.
Absolutely.
So that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. You know, there's a really good point to that where, you know, when we talk about like the nervous system and some of those are areas of the body where your body's constantly sending signals back and forth through the body from the brain and taking that feedback and then deciding what it's going to do next, right? It's constantly happening, whether we're aware of it or not. And so those signals need to continue because if you have injured a portion of your body and you need to allow the body to realize that there's still an ability to get signals. And so that's really, really important. You know, we're going to be talking about some herbs that you can incorporate when you deal with trauma, when you're going back into the gym, some of those. But
yeah, I mean, just before we kind of moved into the herbal part of this, I just wanted to talk about just a couple of different interventions you could do for yourself to kind of move past that place of fear. And then this will, you know, work really well once we talk about the herbs, because all of these things are just in support
Absolutely.
Of you, right?
Yeah.
So just one, knowing that each person responds differently. So I'm speaking to you from whether you are a trainer, whether you are someone seeking out a trainer, or whether you are someone working out on your own. You need to know that you need to respect the place that you're coming from mm-hmm. and know that it's going to take time to where you want to get again. Mm-hmm. It was my 8-year anniversary. It's taken me 8 years to get to where I am. And there are little things that are still changing for me. Mm-hmm. And each year brings something a little bit different, both challenges and also progressions. So just knowing that each person is going to respond differently and honoring that. You can provide tools, whether for yourself or for a client, that help reduce fear avoidance beliefs. So no, we're not psychologists.
Right.
A lot of people think that their personal trainers are psychologists, and we do talk about lots of things during class, absolutely, and we're here for you and everything. But look up some fear avoidance beliefs, like find a meditation or a ritual. Let's say that you use the teas or some of the herbs that Paul is going to talk about, and you kind of have a ritual for yourself before you go into your workout or before you go into that kind of fear-based place in your life, or something that creates that feeling within you. So, you know, doing a little bit of mental work for your physical health.
Right.
Also, and I really like this one, a graded exposure. So a graded exposure is just basically a progressive exposure to a hierarchy of situations or activities that cause fear, essentially to desensitize you to that fear. So let's say, you know, you have a fear of falling off something because you fell off something and you rolled your ankle, and or you jumped off something. So you have a fear of jumping and landing, right? I mean, that happens all the time. So what are small things that you could do progressively in order to desensitize you from that fear? So starting literally on with just balance work.
Right.
So just start with some balance work, not on any height, not on any balance or unstable surfaces, but just, can you do a bicep curl with your knee up? Can you do a single leg deadlift, no weight, and then bring your knee up and kind of flow through that without falling. Mm-hmm. So starting there, then moving maybe to a small step. Mm-hmm. Then maybe you move to a little bit of a box and you work on not jumping on the box, but what it's like to jump down, landing mechanisms that you could use for yourself, so that if you do ever trip and fall, you're not going to roll your ankle or you're not going to collapse into your knees, but you'll know how to land and absorb your impact. So I really love the idea of that graded exposure to things. You want to earn your steps forward. Like I said, it's going to take time. Mm-hmm. Don't jump to something just because you want to be there. And also, there's this movie that someone recently told me about, and I haven't seen it. It's called What About Bob? Have you seen it?
No.
I think it's from the 80s or 90s. It's with like Bill Murray, I remember it being explained to me correctly. And it's about this guy, and I'm sorry if you guys seen it, love it, and I'm explaining it wrong, but I'm going to explain it for it to work for this analogy. And it's this guy who's basically crippled with anxiety. And he starts, I don't know if he starts going to therapy or whatever he starts doing something. And he says that every single moment of every single day, he has to say, this is a baby step, but that baby step adds up. So baby steps to the door. Baby steps. Okay, now I have another goal. And this is going to get into my next point, creating short-term and long-term goals that are going to help you move past that fear.
Right.
So baby step to the door. Now baby step down the stairs. Okay, now my next goal is just to get to the car. Okay, now my next goal is to get, is to practice driving on the highway. I have a client who's afraid of driving on the highway. So she got, even though she's done it before in her life, she started with really short trips on the highway. And like, that's what you need to do in order to move past this place of fear. And also just in general with your recovery, manage your expectations. This is a process. Like if you have fear, question where that fear is coming from, why it's happening in your body. You know, yes, it may seem obvious, like, oh, it's coming because I fell off something, or it's coming from this accident, but what is that fear trying to tell you? And then how is it manifesting itself? And the last thing is to just have support. Don't be afraid. This may sound obvious. This has nothing to do with working your physical body, but don't be afraid to express those fears, especially if you are working with someone, so that that person can be in support of you. That's the only way that you're going to move past that.
Yeah, I really like some of the things that you were talking about with this really practice of patience, right? Taking that time, the time that you actually need to heal yourself. And if we really look at society and the way society is structured, we've been kind of programmed to want instant gratification, instant results. We are obsessed with before and after pictures. It doesn't matter what kind of content you have on your Instagram. If you have before and after pictures, you're way more successful on social media than anybody else. You do even home improvement shows. It's like a 30-minute show, but by the end of it,
bam.
Yeah, it's like that actually took 6 months or longer to do.
Yeah, and a lot of tears and a lot of stress.
And a lot of money and a bunch of other stuff. So really just realizing that about ourselves and our society that it's okay that you have that initial, I want this to happen now. I'm pissed off that this isn't happening now. And I want to just give up because what's the point? We all have that. But the point is you have to realize that the wellness journey is a practice of patience. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so that's something we really need to consider and focus on.
Yeah, especially with emotional pain.
Absolutely.
And trauma.
Absolutely.
I mean, the reason it's called, people are always like, you have to do the work. Mm-hmm. It's because it's work and it doesn't go away immediately. I mean, mm-hmm. you hear so much about like small moments that happened in your childhood that like create this seed in you that grows and grows for your entire life. I mean, imagine having to work through that. So if you do go through something that's emotionally very traumatic or fearful mm-hmm. or whatever, or physical trauma that creates emotional trauma, I mean, you need to give yourself that space and that time.
Right. Absolutely. And what we're talking about there with that kind of trauma and pain is adverse childhood experiences. And there's a lot of research that's come out in the last 20 years on ACEs. That's ACE, adverse childhood experiences. And you can look that up. And they have a quiz. It's like 10 questions and you score from a 1 to 10 what your ACEs score is as an adult. And to see that and to understand, okay, there's quite a few things within my past. And we know, we've just talked about it, that we hold tension or we hold that pain, you know, the body remembers those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that can contribute to a myriad of health issues from, you know, just your movement to your fertility to all of these things. So it's really important to keep those things in mind. So when we're talking about ways to really support the body, because we all have some kind of trauma, you're not going to go through life unscathed.
Nope.
I tell my daughter this because she's in middle school and it's really tough on girls.
Doesn't even need to be this huge thing in your, like, you still experience trauma and it's still trauma.
Absolutely. So you should be incorporating certain herbs. Now, we've talked about these in the past. Ashwagandha, super important to be putting into your daily routine. Now, ashwagandha is a warming herb. So if you feel cold within your body, especially within the core, whether it's your guts or maybe your reproductive health, ashwagandha is good for you because it's going to allow that warming sensation to come throughout the body. Now, it does take time because herbs aren't as harsh most of the time as a traditional chemical medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to it's going to take a month. It might take 2 months. It might even take 3 months of consistently taking this in like a capsule form or maybe getting some ashwagandha powder and putting it into a morning smoothie or something like that. We don't want to be putting it into our coffee like we mentioned because we don't want coffee. If you're looking for something that's going to combat the stress within your life, the environmental factors, those anti-aging properties we're looking for, this is what this is. Now, if you already have a really warm, dry body and you don't want to incorporate ashwagandha because it's too warming, then you can move to maca.
Mm.
Now, these are two completely different herbs. I'm not saying that they're the same herb, but they have a lot of the same benefits and constituents within them that'll allow you to combat the stress within your life, those environmental stress and factors. And it's really like a multivitamin, that daily vitamin that you want to take in the form of that herb. It's going to be a lot more cooling and balancing for your body as well. So those, looking at your energetics, looking at what your body needs and balancing out, those are two that you can select from. So when we talk about the nervous system and stress and anxiety, and you look at herbs and you're researching online, you're going to come across neurotropic herbs and also nervines. So neurotropic is those ones that have come into the media recently that boost your brain's performance, right? And then the nervines are ones that work with your nervous system to kind of relax and combat stress. So easy ways that you can incorporate this. We just talked about getting into the gym and the anxiety of even going into the gym, just being in the gym by itself, any kind of other fear. You know, people talk themselves out of going to the gym on the way to the gym. I've done it. It happens.
Yeah. Like an experience you had in high school could make you mm-hmm. fearful and self-conscious and intimidated to go to the gym. So even like without you being physically injured, I could mm-hmm. absolutely like feel that from people, that fear of just even being there, or, you know, fear of performing a certain mm-hmm. way, fear of being looked at, fear of like women being fearful of the men.
Absolutely.
Not fearful of the men, but like being intimidated by mm-hmm. stepping into the same space you know, with the weights as a man does and blah, blah, blah. Like, so right. Yeah. Sorry, absolutely. Continue. I just, it resonates. Yeah.
Yeah. Men take up a lot more space. They don't even consider anybody else when they're in the gym. But some of the things that you can do now that we're still wearing masks here in the United States and probably globally, a lot of people are still covering their face, or they should be, unless you're in certain areas. The United States has really broken up into its individual countries at this point as to whether or not they do that. But putting a little bit of aromatic oil, so like a rosemary oil, lemon balm oil, you can do lavender oil, things like that, that you can just take like one to two drops. You don't need very much because it's going to be very close to your face. Mm-hmm. Put it on your mask, right? Mm. And then you're breathing in those aromatics. It's calming your body. It's a way for you to incorporate herbs, especially if you're not somebody who likes teas. You forget to take supplements, things like that. Just have those little bottles of essential oils or whatever it might be, even if it's like a hydrosol, which is a little more water-based, in your car, right? You can spray your car with it. So when you're getting in the car to go to work and you're stressed out, when you're getting in the car to go to the gym and you're stressed out, and you just smell mm-hmm. that. One for me that I really like is orange essentials. Anytime I smell oranges, it just reminds me of like a relaxing kind of summer. Mm-hmm. And so I use those.
That sounds like a much better idea than when I tried to sew actual lavender into my mask, but then it was like literally suffocating me to death. So go with the oils. This is why Paula does what she does. But yeah, I was trying to elicit the same effect,
right,
you know. If you can't breathe, it really is not working.
Yeah, especially at the gym when you're moving your body.
Yeah.
So rosemary is great to grow. It's easy to grow. It's very hardy because it's like an evergreen. So incorporating that really everywhere in your life, putting it into your food. Rosemary tea with rose, like rose and rosemary together, are really fantastic. And that is going to help also with your brain performance. So if you're in this cycle of anxiety and this like thought spiral, certain herbs that you smell, the aromatics, are going to help snap you out of that. So rosemary is a really good one. I recommend that absolutely. And then tulsi, just drinking that as a warming tea, smelling that herb is going to be really warming. But if you can incorporate that into a tea on your way to the gym, it's going to help with your pre-workout because it's going to warm the body up to like you would when you're in the gym, you know, doing the treadmill for 10 minutes or whatever it is to get the body woke it up.
Get that body woke.
Woke. And, you know, it's also going to help that nervous system, like I said. So that anxiety, easy ways to incorporate herbs is going to be really what we're looking at.
Yeah, 100%. I love that because even just sitting here thinking about all of the reasons why someone has anxiety going to the gym, I just keep getting more and more in my head. I mean, if you haven't been in for a while and then you're just like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. Like the amount of people who would come into a class who are so nervous, you know, at Orange Theory, at F45, at the boot camps, like feeling like they had to already be super fit in order to even start working out in their life in the first place, which it doesn't really make any sense. It's those baby steps we talked about. So yeah, I mean, I love that these are things, and it's like almost like that ritual we talked about that you could do before you go into a stressful situation or before you go into a workout, like sitting in your car and taking a moment before you leave to smell those herbs that Paula was just talking about that are going to relax the nervous system, relax the muscles, having that tea while you're driving yourself and just letting it work. It's magic through the body. I mean, it's medicine and that's what it's for. So I love that. And I love how accessible like you make it. Cause we've talked about it. If you're not used to this stuff, or if you're not used to working out, or if you're not used to herbalism, it's understandable that it feels overwhelming.
It's one more thing you got to add to your list.
Yeah. So like to literally just put some calming essential oils on your mask, which outside of the gym, that would probably be still so beneficial.
Right.
I mean, think about it too. When it's really hot or when you can't breathe as well, like you almost get like induced panic. So to be able to have that would be really nice.
Yeah.
Briefly, I talked about kind of the majority of what I wanted to talk about and how that fear could affect the way that you're moving and kind of ways that you could combat that. But also just to reiterate, the absolute medicine that is movement. And yes, of course, take your, just like Paula talks about taking your energetics on a daily basis into mm-hmm. consideration regarding what you're ingesting. Also the way that you move, we've talked about also taking into consideration the way that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Because yes, your emotions can like create a really amazing workout for you. Right. Think about those post-breakup workouts you do mm-hmm. or whatever the case is. Or if you're really, really distracted or in a distraught emotional state, you could be setting yourself up for injury again because you're not being mindful, because you're too distracted. It's like, you right. know, so just like you check your energetics, check how much you're able to focus right. before going into a workout. But I still absolutely believe that it's medicine. And, you know, exercise has been proven to help increase self-esteem, mental and physical strength, improve mood, reduce your stress, and all of that obviously plays into your emotional pain or lack of emotional pain. These are all support systems to processing your emotional pain. Mm-hmm. So support yourself.
Absolutely.
And also when you're exercising, you get neurotransmitters that get released into the body, and you get endorphins, serotonin, and norepinephrine. So serotonin is going to adjust mood. It's going to help with sleep. It's going to help with appetite. When we don't produce enough, it could be the cause of depression. But during exercise, serotonin is increased in the brain. Mm. So you talk about that like almost euphoric feeling that you have. And that's kind of what's happening. Like you do get those happy,
right?
Happy signals going into your brain when you're exercising. And norepinephrine is a transmitter involved in the body's reaction to stress. Mm-hmm. So if you're going into your workout with stress, then literally these chemicals that are being released into your body are combating that stress that's putting you in that fear state. Mm-hmm. So you're almost giving yourself medicine without yeah. even having to give yourself medicine.
Absolutely.
And yeah, when you're doing exercise, it could also help activate a certain region of the brain. I'm going to literally butcher this, but it's locus coeruleus. Coeruleus.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
So you have the spelling.
Yeah. But it helps connect most of the regions of the brain involved in emotional and stress responses. So like you are, like I said, giving yourself that medicine. It's obviously been confirmed. We've talked about this to reducing anxiety. It's actually being prescribed now in some clinical settings to help treat anxiety and depression. And some studies, and this is amazing to me because growing up with depression, I was put on so many different antidepressants mm-hmm. that had all of these side effects that sometimes were really not good for like what was causing my depression.
Right.
And I felt like the doctors weren't really thinking these things through, but now they're showing that exercise can almost be as useful or is as useful and effective in treating depression as medication and drug therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just know that if you are going through things, if you are trying to heal emotional pain, use these herbs to help support you and mm-hmm. use your own body to help support you. And then also just be inquisitive. If you have like emotional pain, investigate the source, ask questions. When you're in that kind of that workout state, I feel like at least for me, your mind is a little bit more clear. It doesn't have the clutter of everything. Mm-hmm. So even though that kind of is a quiet time, it mm-hmm. could also be a very reflective time and be like, why is my body reacting this way? What is happening with this stress? When is this stress arising for me?
Mm-hmm.
And use the feedback in order to just help yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we talk about, and now that I've focused on the words that I use often, like fantastic and absolutely, I hate it.
It's fantastic.
But talking about supporting the body, supporting the brain, supporting the mind, some of the herbs for nerve support that are really important to incorporate that we've heard actually quite often in the media talked about, like ginkgo biloba.
Mm-hmm.
People think if they don't have memory issues or if they're maybe not at risk or they think they're not old enough to start thinking about that herb, it's something that can be incorporated at a very young age, you know, 19, 20, things like that. It's not harmful to, you know, teens. So that would be a good one to incorporate, because not only is it's supporting the functions of the brain in the correct way, but it's also supporting the body. So if you're getting out there and you're doing physical exercise, same with GoTo Cola. We've talked about GoTo Cola, and I think in an episode about skin or skin health, and how it really, as a topical, really helps to connect the fascia and some of those connective tissues in the body better. But it also works internally to do some of the same things. And when we're talking about connective tissue, we're even talking about the gray matter within your brain. So it's really supportive with nerve support internally. And then Bacopa is another one. This is really a mixture of herbs and Ayurvedic medicine, but it's super beneficial. So taking these at even a little bit of a younger age, incorporating them into your routine as a capsule or maybe a powder form, because what we're seeing is kids, the increase in stress and anxiety is coming from these teens. They don't have outlets. Now that we've gone almost 2 years of COVID, we're looking at the society in general. We're sitting too much. We've talked about that. These kids are sitting all day in class. You know, so of course your mental state is already going to be diminished, you know, and so when we talk about it's important to get exercise, that means any kind of movement. Go for a walk, get outside. You don't have to necessarily put your kids or yourself into like a sports workout routine.
Right. Doesn't have to be like all or nothing.
But incorporating that, taking these three herbs that I'm talking about, incorporating those into morning smoothies as a family, doing some of those things, because you want to support their mental health as their brain is still developing and forming.
Right.
Right. There's never a time where, oh, I'm 30 or 40. Now I should be considering my brain health. You're supposed to be thinking about it through your entire life, because what we're seeing is by 25 or 30, your brain has really finished forming. And even though, you know, we can dive into the epigenetics of our bodies and neuroplasticity and all these other more technical ways of explaining, oh, well, this, that, and the other thing could potentially still happen. Yes, you can still change it, but if you start earlier, it's better, right? I mean, in terms of when I started moisturizing my face and making sure that I, you know, was thinking about wrinkles, I was like 15, 16, you know, I didn't wait until I already had wrinkles, right?
Right.
Same thing with our brains. The other thing when we think about trauma, pain, emotional or physical, those that combine together is PTSD, right? And so thinking about talking about that and some of the herbs that work really well for those, and these are ones that are obviously a little more for the adults, is like kava. There's actually some places on the East Coast I know of that have like kava cafes. And so kava is really good to just really relax the body. And so taking that at night, so if you do have PTSD or potentially have night terrors, things like that, this will help relax your body throughout. Valerian, we've talked about valerian root before. This is a really good one. Now, this one is one that you have to be careful of, because you want to know your dosage. You don't want to overdose yourself on valerian, because you can become sick. It can cause vomiting and nausea and all of these things. So, and you don't want to take any of these in combination with each other. One that's really fantastic for women who potentially have PTSD from sexual assault is passion flower. The reason that this one is good is because you can take it throughout the day. It doesn't necessarily have to be just at night. It's going to help support your nervous system and the effects of that. But it's also going to bring back in some health and recovery to your reproductive health and your sexual health. Because we know when we talk about PTSD and sexual assault, a lot of the time it's hard not only to then go and be intimate with someone, but actually have an orgasm. And so passion flower is really important for that. So, you know, and that's extreme pain and trauma on so many levels, because if you can't connect intimately with someone, you know, what does that look like for the rest of your life, your relationships, things. And so that's a good one to incorporate on a daily basis. It's got a myriad of other benefits for those that aren't necessarily suffering from those issues, but it's really good for those issues as well. And also milk thistle and chamomile. Milk thistle is great for some hormone support. We've talked about that in the past. but fantastic for just easing into the day. If you have a lot of anxiety, stress, pain, it might be hard for you to go to bed because you have that pain throughout the night. Your brain won't shut off. It just keeps running through the same kind of cycle of whatever that trauma or anxiety is. So milk thistle is really good for relaxing the body and the mind. And then chamomile tea.
Yes. You know, lovely. Good. Yeah. I love how you said, like, why are you going to wait until the problem already arises in order to do something about it? I mean, so much of what we talk about here is always about setting yourself up, exercise, taking care of yourself. It's all to help prevent chronic disease later down the road. You're not like 20 years old necessarily and being like, I'm at risk for a heart attack. I mean, not the average person at least.
Right.
But when you're 55, you may be at risk for a heart attack if like you never took care of yourself or something. So all of this stuff, like why wait until it's too bad?
Right.
Like pain management could happen on an emotional level and a physical level. And just like management of the self could happen with, you know, before you get to that point where you're desperate for that help.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Yeah.
And I really like what you said too. You know, we always talk about like it not having to be all or nothing. Not everyone loves exercise.
Right.
Not everyone even has the time to dedicate an hour. Like a Harvard study showed that running just 15 minutes a day or walking an hour reduces your risk of major depressive symptoms. Mm-hmm. I mean, like it does 15 minutes.
Right.
15 minutes. I mean, 30 minutes of a walk has shown to reduce chronic disease, the risk of chronic illness. So I love that you brought that up at the very end here because, you know, just because you're going through things, you don't have to like have the hardest workout in order to process it.
Right.
Or you don't have to do this in order to process it. But like, how can you set yourself up so that you know how to process it, you know, before it gets too bad? But yeah, that was a good combo. Thanks. but yeah, I hope this helped you guys. I hope this helped you get past maybe a few barriers that you may be having with you and your body and your mental health.
Yeah. And definitely reach out to us. Like we said on Bands of Botanicals, you know, Danielle's going to be coming on as a resident, trainer as always. And if you do have questions or you have topics that you want covered while Danielle's on the show, then it's a fantastic time. Send it to us. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we want to hear if you're incorporating some of these things, how they're working out for you.
Yeah, we're going to still be talking. Like we said, we're still friends. No drama. Save the drama for your mama. All right. Well, have a good day, everyone. And
we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Peace and love.